This is a desktop movie.
What's up?
Oh, I don't know. Just hanging out with my best friend.
Yeah, just hanging out. Nothing different. Just a normal
thing we normally do.
Yeah, totally. This is an everyday attire. This is just how we look.
Yeah, we always dress like this. And those of you listening definitely are getting the joke. Brandon and I are currently dressed in cosplay.
Yes, and we're currently in Tokyo and Oklahoma.
Yes, Tokyo, okay.
Formerly
Tokyo and Tulsa.
And just living the best life here.
Yeah, living the dream. I'm currently dressed as Princess Hilda from A Link Between Worlds.
And I'm Ravio from also A Link Between Worlds.
Yes.
What's been the highlight thus far here of Tokyo in... Can't call it Tokyo and Tulsa for... It's just so much easier to say for me.
Yeah.
Tokyo and Tulsa. The website's still Tokyo and Tulsa.
Yeah, they haven't changed that yet.
What's been the highlight for you?
Honestly, I think it has been meeting like all the, like the artists and everything. Like the conversations we've had with them are really cool. I got a shirt from an artist, and she shared
super dope shirt.
Super dope shirt, and she shared a really like personal story with us, and it was very nice. Yeah,
it was super dope. For me, we just walked around kind of like the main hall area in cosplay. And that was just super fun.
Yeah, because this is our first time cosplaying.
It is.
Yeah.
And everybody was just so very nice. And it's a strange thing to try and like, it's a little uncomfortable sometimes to go up to people in cool cosplays and be like, I like your cosplay. But being in cosplay, that helped me.
Yeah, for sure. Our first kind of like mini convention we went to, like I don't know if you remember, but I was very like scared to tell people I like their cosplay. Like, I almost cried because I was like, their cosplay is so cool. And you're like, do you want to take a picture with them? And I was like, no.
And I was like, too bad.
And you're too bad. We're going to do it anyways. No, you didn't force me to do anything I didn't want to do.
No, I did not. But or at least I hope not. But I didn't feel that till I saw somebody in cosplay that I largely related to and felt personal. Somebody from was dressed as Taco from the Adventure Zone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get it.
Yeah. You were teary-eyed. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was. They won their like age group.
Mm-hmm. Deservedly so.
Yeah. And you were like, oh my God, I'm so happy for them. And like, yeah, it was very emotional.
It was just so cool.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was such a cool niche cosplay. I'm not super niche, but just a niche enough for me, and they did it really well. They put in a lot of work.
Yeah, they did super awesome. So now here we are, full circle, doing our cosplay.
Absolutely. My head is a trillion degrees right now. I'm sure yours is.
Oh yeah, I've got a wig cap and a wig in the headphones, so yeah, it's pretty warm under here.
It's fantastic. Well, with that, thank you everybody for tuning back in for episode 2 here of 2D or Not 2D.
An animated movie podcast.
Hosted by myself, Brandon.
And myself, Nikki.
And what did we watch this month, Nikki?
We watched Swan Lake from 1981. And I have a lot of things to say about this movie.
Yes. Just very briefly, let's run through what was the story here of Swan Lake.
Well, I was going to run through why we watched it first.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Okay, so this was another one of my picks. We did 2 of my picks in a row. Mm. So I have a very vague memory as a child of watching an anime version of The Little Mermaid.
Mm.
And it stuck to the original fairy tale, which does not have a happy ending. And it was a little more accurate to the story. And I just have this, it was beautiful. And I have this memory of it, and I had to find it, and I found it, but not anywhere I could stream. But while I was looking for it, I found that the same animation company did a lot of those with the fairy tales. And one of them that was available to stream easily to get a hold of is Swan Lake, which I'm familiar with the story of Swan Lake. So I was like, yeah, let's watch Swan Lake because it'll be both our first times watching it. So that's why we went with this version of Swan Lake, which is the first animated version of Swan Lake.
Mm. And we watched it. It's free to stream on YouTube.
Or Tubi.
Or Tubi.
There's ads with Tubi.
Slight variations with the YouTube version, which we'll get into.
Apparently, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. But yeah, do you want to...
Yeah, I can run through, like, plot.
Okay, yeah.
So basically, this animated movie, I don't know, is it considered an anime?
Sure. I mean, what is anime short for but animation? So.
Yeah, okay. It sticks pretty close to the ballet, if you're familiar. There is a prince who comes across a beautiful swan with a crown on its head, and he's quite transfixed, and he follows the swan and finds that she transforms into a beautiful woman. And he's like, hey, I'm in love with you. I know you're a swan, but I kind of thought you were hot even as a swan. So we're definitely meant to be.
Yeah.
My freaking mom's making me get married. And so if you could come to my ball so that I could marry you, like, that'd be freaking sick. and so she's like, no, I can't because there's an evil sorcerer who's turned me into a swan and he'll kill you if he sees you. And he's like, I don't care. Come to my party. And so I don't know if this is true to the story, but some woodland creatures help Princess Odette.
Yeah, I believe that the two little chipmunks, Hans and Margarita.
They're squirrels.
Squirrels, my apologies. You're good. But they are not in the original Swan Lake. Yeah,
they're not. But I don't know how she gets to the ball.
No idea. Because
the sorcerer is like, you were talking to a boy, how dare you? And the sorcerer cursed her because he wants to marry her. And she said, no, thanks, you're an old creepy sorcerer.
And I don't remember his name. But I'm going to call him Rankfart because that feels right.
It's Rothbart.
Rothbart.
But Rankfart's pretty accurate.
Yeah, too. I mean, unless you're on his side, I think you can call him Rankfart.
So he's like, no, you can't go to the ball. How dare you? And he's like, well, that's the reason why, you know, Odette won't marry me is because she's in love with this freaking prince guy. And his daughter, Odile, who is about the same age as Odette, which yes. is really creepy that he wants to marry someone the same age as his daughter.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, what if I go to the ball pretending to be Odette and get him to marry me instead? And that is pretty much what happens. Odile goes to the ball disguised as Odette, and he's like, Odette! And she's like, no, it's Odile. You must have misheard me. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't care. I still love you. Let's get married. And then Rothbart and Odette appear just in time to see him propose to Odile, and Odette faints, and Rothbart takes her away, and then Prince Siegfried is like, oh no, I made a mistake. Oops, I must rectify this, and chases after her, and a battle ensues. And the only real difference between, like, the ballet and this is that... Princess Odette says, hey, yeah, I'll marry you if you just don't kill Prince Siegfried because I love him. And Siegfried's like, no, I'd rather die than you have to marry him. So he takes a sword to the chest and...
As one does.
And then, boom, guess what? Power of true love.
Power of true love saves the day.
The castle explodes. Rothbart and Odile just, like, burst into flames. And our heroes are there, and they're in love. And they get to be together. Whereas in the ballet, as soon as the prince agrees to marry someone who isn't Odette, Odette dies.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
Yeah. Because the curse is like, he has to like promise to love you and never love anybody else. And then it'll free you from the curse. But he promised to love Odile by accident.
Yeah, that's not that doesn't make for a good children's story, huh?
Yeah, but that's what I was expecting, because the Little Mermaid one, in the original fairy tale, the Little Mermaid dies. Mm. She doesn't get to be with the prince. She kills herself. Mm. Yeah. So in the one I watched, that's what happens. Like, she has a choice between killing the prince or dying. Mm. And she loves him so much she can't do it, so she, like, kills herself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like that is a theme with, like, old school fairy tales, is they tend to end in a lot more traumatically than they've been glossed up to be.
Yeah,
as of late.
I know that it's like their name of like the grim fairy tales, but the fairy tales are pretty grim.
A little grim.
Although Little Mermaid is Hans Christian Andersen, and Swan Lake is, who knows who wrote Swan Lake?
Oh, yeah.
There's some controversy.
That's right. That's right. Before we get into that, did you like this movie?
I liked it a lot, actually. Yeah. It's definitely, there's some things I want to talk about for sure, but overall, I think it's a good, like, kids movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's cute.
It's super cute, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. It was just, it was a very pleasant, it definitely shows its age and just in pretty much all aspects of it. There's not much of it that is not, not somewhat touched by time, but it's just a good little story and albeit maybe it's not true to the original of, you know, as dark as that original may be in that ending. I did like the ending kind of sunset of the characters.
Yeah, and the squirrels get married too.
Yes, yes. But yeah, do you want to jump into like the story of the writers there?
Yeah, so the ballet was written by, I meant to look it up, like, but Shavatsky. Mm. He wrote the ballet of Swan Lake. And it is rumored that it is based off of two, like, Russian-German fairy tales, like a combined version of them. Because that's, like, the closest thing people can kind of figure, like, maybe it's based off of this. Like, there's some swans in this and, like, some sorcerers in this one, and it's kind of combined. But there's some controversy that people think that Shavatsky's, like, assistant choreographer actually wrote the story of it, because both their upbringings would expose them both to these fairy tales, and so either one of them realistically could have wrote it, and no one knows for sure. And people with big names like that usually are, it's easy to point to them and say, hey, you probably stole your work. So we'll never know is the thing, but technically Shavatsky wrote Swan Lake.
Gotcha. That is interesting. I was telling you, it's so interesting with these kind of pockets of history that are, I mean, a huge aspect of Swan Lake, and Swan Lake is kind of, I don't know, I suppose it's somewhat fallen out of touch, but I mean, growing up, there were lots of movies and plays and things dedicated to both swans and lakes and dancing, I feel like. And so I've had a hard time kind of keeping track, but I mean, like Swan Lake, the ballet, I remember that. Like, I remember hearing that name.
Right.
And I don't know. It makes sense. Like I was saying, like with Shakespeare has a similar situation where they aren't certain of whether or not he even existed or whatever. And it's weird how time does that to history, kind of washes it around. I want to bring up the movie itself real quick.
Okay.
Because the difference, the version I watched had a musical number.
Yes. The other thing is that both these versions are the dubbed versions.
Right.
Like, the original audio is not really available unless you buy, like, the original DVD.
Right. But I wonder what caused that difference between our watches. We have so much in front of the...
Maybe it's just because that part wasn't in English. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, because, you watched on Tubi.
Yeah, I watched it on Tubi. So, yeah, basically, this anime didn't have any musical numbers, like a lot of fairy tale animated movies tend to. But when Brandon and I were talking about this beforehand, he was like, it's kind of weird there was that like musical number right in the middle. And I was just like, what? Like, because there wasn't in my version. There was a little dance, which was adorable, but no singing.
The squirrels, while I'm looking at this, we were talking about the audio choices for the squirrels. And let me tell you,
they mixed those squirrels differently.
That they did.
Because those squirrels were obnoxious. Why is it like a sing-along?
I don't know. But yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's got a little Japanese kind of sing-along here in the middle of the film, and then over the credits they play this again. It's pretty
okay. So I do feel like the visual is the same,
mm-hmm.
But there was, like, they didn't make it seem like she was singing.
Well, and it's weird because even in this one, it doesn't quite seem like they're making it look like she's singing. They kind of do. We also have a bunch of boxes in front of our screen, so it's a little tough to tell. But they don't ever have, like, a close-up on Odette mouthing the words or anything.
Right.
And I watched this with my partner, Donna, and she, her minor is in Japanese, and so she was trying to translate. And it, I mean, it seems as though it's from her perspective. It's like this, you know, is this a dream? Just very,
yeah,
very much from her perspective. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting difference.
That is an interesting difference.
Weird that they had that. Yeah. One of the things apart from that, that I did want to talk about, while we have the movie pulled up here, the stills and the background images, I'm kicking myself for not remembering the name of what that's called, but they're absolutely gorgeous. And I love this style with, like, old Disney cartoons, especially, you know, Snow White and Cinderella, where, I mean, they would just reuse the frames themselves, these hand-painted frames, and then animate the characters over them. And that was probably my favorite part of this movie.
That was, like, so I wrote notes for this one. Yes. And, like, that's, like, the second thing I wrote down was just, like, everything felt, like, ethereal. Mm. Like, the way everything was colored and shaded, like, it just felt, like, fantastical and just gorgeous.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad that this happened to be the frame that we stopped on here. Because watching it, this is the prince's castle that he lives in with his mom, the queen. And... also, I'm assuming this is in the dub that you watched as well. Mom seems, like, not that concerned that her husband just passed away.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, kid, your dad just died. You're king now, so pick a bride.
Yeah, go. You gotta get married.
Too bad.
Yeah, too bad.
But the castle itself, it reminds me a lot of Princess Peach's castle.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And Donna brought up, she was like, I wonder if that was, like, the inspiration for it. And I was like, actually... yeah, very well could be.
Could be, yeah.
Time-wise, it all lines up.
Yeah.
But it's this really pretty white brick with red shingles atop the spires.
Like pointy.
But
roofs.
Yeah, I was just a big fan of that, and I wish there was more. I wish there was a more animation like that now.
Yeah, because they've really moved away from it.
Yeah, and you know that has its pluses in terms of feeling a lot more like alive and. Like a moving environment and stuff, but I don't know, just like it really, really works for the like dance numbers and just some of the gorgeous setup shots and everything for this that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it was super pretty. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, which really only works if you listen to the dub. So if you somehow got a subtitled version, this conversation's not for you. but the dialogue, the voice acting was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Specifically Prince Siegfried.
Yeah.
That little boy is so dramatic.
He's sassy.
He's so, I wrote down two quotes of his that I have to share. So one was when his mom, oh, I have a couple actually. His mom said, hey, you have to pick a bride so that you can be king. And his response is, do I have to? And I was like, are you kidding me? And so he's talking to, like, his aide, I assume. His name's, like, Benno. And he's complaining that he has to get married. He's like, I want to marry for love. I don't want to marry a stranger I just met. And he goes, I know what I'll do. I'll give up. And I was like, what? Like, you sounded so confident, like you knew how to solve the problem, and then he was like, nah, I give up. So it's just, like, very abrupt, very dramatic. Like, he went from one tone to the other just, like, so quickly, and I don't know if that was just because they couldn't match, like, the mouth flaps or what happened, but it was very, very dramatic.
Yeah.
And after that scene, he starts thinking about that pretty swan he saw with the crown, and he's like, I have to see that swan again. I have to see that swan. I know I need to see her. And he tells his aide, don't try to stop me. And Benno goes, I won't. It was just so funny. I'm like, no one talks like this. And it was like almost just him. Like, I felt like everyone else, like their reactions, like in their dialogue made sense.
The only exception to that would be Odette. And there was a scene whenever Hans and Margarita rescue Odette when she is trapped in the little birdcage castle she's in, and they open the door and she turns and it's like a close up on her face and she goes, the door's opened. And it was something about it was just so I really think it must be that they were whatever the lines were. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have the translation, but a rough translation, because it just felt like they just had to throw in lines sometimes to fill space. And that was one especially. The door is open, like after they had shown the door. Like,
yeah, it's like, we know it's open.
We know, Odette. Thank you.
Yeah.
As I said, the two squirrels, so much louder.
Hans and Margarita.
Hans especially was,
oh yeah,
I mean, painful.
Yeah.
But I did love their characters.
Their characters are very cute.
They also had a lot of lines of dialogue where I was like, that didn't really add up.
Right. Like, that's not really necessary.
Also, Margarita was 100% leveraging marriage over Hans.
Yes. Because Hans is in love with Margarita, and Margarita's in love with Prince Siegfried.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's like, well, I'll never marry you if you're not brave, and like things like that. Be like, the man I would marry would do that for me. Like,
it's so funny. They were a mess. But that was good. What else did you got?
So don't look at my notes.
I'm not. I can't. I've got no glasses.
Get your own notes, Brandon.
I
don't look at them.
Okay.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is Rothbart's daughter, Odile.
Yes.
She is the coolest character I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, she was really dope.
She was so cool. She had long blue hair and this really cool like black dress with like long black gloves. And she was so sassy. And I was just like, this is the coolest character I've ever seen. And I want to be her, even though she's evil.
Well, she was also magical, which was super cool. She could change her appearance.
Yeah, like she transformed herself, took like Odette. She could turn into, I wanted to say she turned into a bat.
Some small night small flying bird. Creature.
Yeah, because yeah. Rothbart turned himself into an owl at night. And so I was like, I think she was a bird, but I couldn't tell.
Maybe she was an owl too, because.
Maybe, she was just like a lot smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, Rothbart as an owl was very funny with the big mustache.
Yeah, he had a big mustache. He was, again, weird, creepy, wanting to marry this girl that's the same age as his daughter.
He was weird and creepy, not to move away from Odile for too long, but...
No, I mean, that's really all I have to say is that she was really, really cool, and I want to cosplay her.
He's super dope. Rothbart. Oh, I could be Rothbart. That'd be fun. That'd I could be get so the purple.
Yes.
I already done the mutt jobs at one point.
Okay, let me just pull up Amazon and start order and stuff.
But they... He was a little strange with his motives, sure.
Mm-hmm.
However, I really, really liked him as a villain because he was just evil.
They were
just both nonsensically. I mean, I guess sensically for him, he was in love with Odette, but he was just evil, and he was having a hard time being evil, but he was managing just evil all the way.
Well, that was the other thing with Odile is. She's like, I can pretend to be Odette and get Prince Siegfried to marry me. And she's like, I wouldn't mind marrying Prince Siegfried. He's pretty cute. Like, you know, whatever. Let me just trick this man into marrying me. And then when Prince Siegfried's trying to, like, protect Odette and, you know, win her love, I forget what he says to her, but it offends Odile. And then she's like, oh, fine. I don't want him anymore. You can kill him. Because, like, before she's like, don't. Kill him, kind of, like, not very committed, but she's like, well, like, please don't kill him, maim him or like something.
I think all he does is he's just like, I would never marry her,
which
is like, yeah, what'd you expect? Like,
right, like, you just tricked him into thinking you were someone else.
Yeah, her motives were a little strange because it didn't feel like she was in love with Siegfried or wanted like the
I think she wanted to be queen.
yeah, but apparently not very bad.
Not that bad. As soon as he's like, I'd never marry you, she was like, oh, kill him.
Also, there was like a thing largely in the movie about like going back on your word, because they didn't like officially get married. He was just like, I'll marry you. And yeah. Then he's like, too late. You already said it.
Right. And that's like, I think that's where the original tale comes in, because like, originally that's what kills Odette, is saying like, oh, I promise I'll never love anyone but you. And then it's like, okay. And then you go, hey, the person I think's you, I love you, let's get married. And it's like, haha, that wasn't her. Dead.
Yeah, he was just a little too eager. You gotta, I mean, should have known.
Yeah.
Didn't.
I mean, you fell in love with a swan. That's kind of like a red flag. Because that's what he tells her. He's like, I loved you even before I knew you were a person. Like,
yeah, that was a weird.
Yeah.
He was really, really.
He was really into that swan.
He was swooning over that swan, something fierce. And don't get me wrong. Gorgeous swan.
Beautiful. I honestly, the first, when they introduce her with her little crown, I was like, I kind of want that tattooed.
Oh, that'd be cute.
I was like, that'd be so pretty just to have that little goose. I said goose. That little swan with a crown.
How dare you?
It's like the whole name of the thing, and I got it wrong.
We should remake it and call it Goose Lake.
Goose Lake. I wouldn't watch that one.
Just so angry.
But it's like reverse.
It's reverse? So it's
like the goose that's cursed is actually like bad. Because geese are evil.
I like to imagine that it's from the perspective of the geese, and one of the geese falls in love with a human that secretly turns into a goose. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait, so it would be falls in love with a human that just turns into a human during the day, but at night is actually
a goose.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Sorry.
If you want to invest in our new movie.
Yeah. You can reach me at my email, and it'll be in the description below.
2D or not 2D? cast@gmail.com.
No, I meant my personal email will also be.
No.
But. I just came up with Goose Lake. So.
Yeah, but it was on our podcast. So I own half of that idea.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just send it to my personal email. Don't worry about it.
I'm wearing headphones.
Don't worry about it. Just send it.
Send it, bro.
Just send it. Send the money to me, and I'll make Goose Lake. Anyway, what else did you bring?
I wanted to mention, I didn't have a musical number, but the eggs dancing.
Oh, yes.
There's a cute little scene after Prince Siegfried, like, invites Odette to his ball. So it's, like, the transition of, like, okay, that day's ended and a new day has begun, and she needs to figure out how to get to the ball. And there's a swan that has laid some eggs, and the eggs are beginning to hatch. So their little feetsies come out of the eggs, and they do Swan Lake. They do the ballet. And it's adorable, and the squirrels are, like, watching this happen. And it's very cute, and I thought it was a great ode to, like, the original source material.
Yes. The eggs were adorable. I don't know. I feel like that's another thing that I don't see a lot in more modern animated films like this, of like just taking the time to like, we're just going to do a little dance number here.
Yeah.
And super adorable.
Right.
I loved it.
It didn't really add to anything, to the plot. I mean, like, it didn't move anything along. It was pretty lengthy scene.
Yeah.
So it was definitely just like an ode to the source material.
It was very nice. I did want to mention also, for me, one of the things I super enjoyed about watching this movie was, while watching it, I kept thinking about, as I ought to do, Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And
classic, Brandon.
Classic. I was watching this and I was like, this would make for an adorable and super fun Dungeons and Dragons, like, one-page adventure type thing.
Yeah.
I could absolutely see most every story beat down to, like, because, I mean, he even, whenever Siegfried goes to the wizard's castle at the end to save Odette, he has to go through, like, two or three trials, very classic D&D adventure, or even any kind of video game adventure setup. Like,
you can't just waltz in.
Yeah, he goes through the cave. Also, I don't know if you caught this, when he goes through the cave with all the bats, I may have misheard this, but did you hear what he called the bats?
No.
He called them keys.
Oh.
Which I need to look more into that, because that's what the bats in Legend of Zelda are called.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I wonder if that's a Japanese
like word.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
But yeah, that was, I mean, I don't have too much to extrapolate upon that other than the fact that I just really like fantasy stories and and I think that, I don't know, there is so much to be taken from them for tabletop games.
Yeah.
And especially since for the majority of this, it wasn't particularly violent. I mean, at times it was.
Yeah, it was really... Rothbart does throw a fit when he realizes that Princess Odette is in love with Prince Siegfried, and he, like, smashes a column to the castle to bits.
Yeah. Apparently not one that was a structural column.
Yeah, it was just, you know, that extra column we all have.
You know, in castles, you're like, that's an accent column,
yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, we don't really need that.
But I did enjoy that. But I thought Rothbart would be a fun, I don't know, like kind of a prissy villain that's just bad at love. I love that. Like,
my other thing that I did appreciate about Rothbart as a character is that he never physically hurt Odette.
Yes.
And he had a really hard time getting upset with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, anytime he's like, oh, I'm so mad, like, you've been in love with this prince, whatever. She's like, yeah, like, I'm never going to marry you because you're mean. And then he's like, okay, fine. I'll just leave you alone. I'll give you some time to think about it. One day you'll love me if I'm just a patient. Like, his whole thing was just, like, he was going to be patient until he fell in love with her.
Well, and on the flip side of that, too, like, I liked Odile being like, oh, you should just kill her.
Yeah, and he was like, no, I could never harm my love.
He contemplates it for like a second.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, I can't. But I appreciated that because I frequently think that when I see cartoonish villains, I'm like, you could just kill them. Like,
right.
I would rather not that because I do like our main heroes here, but that would definitely save you
that
the trouble.
Solve it.
Yeah. Villains, if you're listening, you could just kill them.
Could just kill them.
And
don't just keep them in a room.
Yeah.
And expect they won't get out.
Yeah. And like, that would just, that'd save you a lot of trouble, less evil monologues, less headaches, just in general.
Less stress, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I appreciated them showing the process of that.
Yeah.
Of like you said, Odile's like, oh, why don't you just kill her? And he's like, yeah, well, actually, no.
No, I can't do that.
I love her. Like, I do.
But that was, yeah, that was another line. Sorry, that was cracking me up. So one of the reasons that kind of starts some of the turbulence in the beginning of the film, when Siegfried falls in love with the swan, and then there's like some mist that shows up, and then one of his cohorts.
His name was Adolf.
Adolf goes to shoot an arrow at the swan.
Yeah, he says, oh, we'll put her above your fireplace, or like something like that.
Yeah, he's like real quick to...
like, we're going to stuff her.
And and because of that, Rankfart, he turns him to stone. He turns Adolf to stone.
Yeah.
So when they revisit... when they revisit Adolf, Siegfried's like, be patient, Adolf. And yeah. I just loved that because it's like, what is he going to do?
Yeah, like Adolf isn't going to say anything.
Calm down.
Just wait. Like, yeah, he's stoned, my dude.
And they pass him like several times. And so every time after that they passed him, I was like, just calm down.
Just
be patient.
Adolf, please. You're stressing me out.
You're stressing me out. I understand. It's stressful being stone. However,
can you calm down?
Can you calm down a bit?
Just a little bit.
So, yeah, I like this movie. You like this movie?
I did like this movie.
Definitely, it was 2D. I mean, right?
It was very 2D. Very, very classic.
Classic. 2D. Classic.
Like early Disney. I think this was about the same times as like where the Disney Renaissance was starting. Because like this was 1981, and I feel like it was like mid or early 80s when the Disney Renaissance was going on.
That sounds right. And definitely for kids, right? I mean, there's nothing.
Oh, for sure. This is definitely a kid-friendly movie.
It's, I mean, and that's the only thing I would, is just a heads up, is again, the pacing of it has definitely aged with it.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's probably the most, like, this was for kids. Like, the pacing of it was definitely, like, quick, like, we got to get through this, like, quick attention span, like.
Yes, but at the same, yes, it was, like, things happened very quickly, but, like, something about the delivery was very slow. Like, I think that when I look at, like, more modern cartoons of any kind, it's, I mean, apart from just the characters being a little bit more fluid in their movements and bouncing and stuff, they move quick, like, with their lines. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just fast cuts, fast everything. This,
you have to marry someone. Do I have to? Like,
yeah,
there's,
exactly.
like, not a beat.
This definitely shows age in while those beats are still quick, they are sometimes just not paced the best, I feel like.
Right, they're not, like, realistically paced.
Yeah, and so unlike... Unlike A Cat in Paris, where even at times when maybe it would dip in attention span, like, I could see it being a little bit of a harder time, like, holding the attention of a small child at this in this day and age.
Yeah.
Back in my day. Because if you've gone back and watched some of, like, old cartoons from, like, Cartoon Network and stuff, like...
Yeah.
I don't know why I asked that. Of course you have.
Of course I have.
I watched recently, and by recently, I mean, I think 3 or 4 years ago. Did you ever watch Two Stupid Dogs?
Not really.
It was just like, they're mostly just shorts. I think they were like
yeah.
15 minutes of a 30-minute long program. And when I went back to try and watch one, oh my gosh. It was, I mean, like slow motion is what it felt like watching
yeah.
it.
Was just, wasn't one of the dogs just like, they it just talked really slow?
Yes, that yeah. too. But even the smaller, scrappier one was like, what's this? Like, just real, like, oh, no. And then the slower one would enter and, okay. And it was like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe that this is, like, my attention span.
Cannot even.
Cannot even. All right. Well, yeah, that was Swan Lake. Do you want to do, like, a segment of, like, what we've been otherwise watching here recently?
Sure.
What else have you been watching here recently?
I just finished Lucifer.
Lucifer? Nice.
Yeah, I had the series finale. And it, yeah, that's what I was watching. I'm kind of a little bit behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad at keeping up with current ongoing shows. And I didn't realize it was still ongoing when I started watching it.
Mm.
And so I finally watched the second half of the last season. It was really good.
Nice.
I'm so upset at Twitter.
Mm. Oh, no.
Because, like, even when you, like, mute things, it's still like, oh, hey, we know you're interested in this topic, mm-hmm. so why don't you do this? So I kind of, like, got some things spoiled for me, but not in a way that I knew exactly what happened. But I'm like, how is, like, every episode I was like, wait, how is this going to turn into what I think?
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up turning out really good.
Nice.
And I liked it a lot.
I know you've recommended that one to me in the past. I need to,
yes.
to pick it up. Because I've heard good things.
I misspoke of it when we last talked about it, but it is a DC character. Like, Lucifer is a DC character.
Yeah. I had something spoiled for me recently was Squid Game.
Mm-hmm.
I watched through that recently, which I really enjoyed. But I was really disappointed because it was an online, like, publication that I enjoy that spoiled it for me. And it was just really frustrating. I won't go into detail about who that publication is or what it said to not spoil
right.
or because I still think they put out a lot of good stuff, but it was one of those where it was like intentionally misleading. So it didn't really spoil anything, but just by the nature of how this is like so vague and challenging to mm-hmm. describe, but it's like it was trying to not be spoilery by using like pictures that would make you think something else.
Right.
But by just the very nature, like I'm trying to think of how to like phrase this without.
Can I try to articulate what
yes.
you're saying? Like, I feel like when it's something like that, cause I think it was kind of the same situation. You kind of view the show differently. Like you're trying to make it.
Yeah.
Like fit what you read.
Yes.
And you're like, hold on.
Like, I'm trying
like whether it spoils anything or not. it still affected your viewing experience.
What's something like that's universal that I could spoil that I could like use in as an example?
Humpty Dumpty.
Okay. So say you know nothing about Humpty Dumpty, right?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So what if it was like, what if it was like when they like, they didn't put Humpty Dumpty back together the right way. That's what we think. And it's like, you wouldn't have known that it was going to break.
Yeah, like, wait, back together?
Yeah, like something along those lines where it was like, I mean, maybe you could guess because it's an egg that you would get it. Like, but I it's such a short series. It's 9 episodes.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I watched Ghost in the Shell.
Very nice.
96, speaking of bad voiceover work, very bad.
Love it.
It was the English dub as well. And I rented that on accident, but then I realized it's hard to get a hold of the Japanese version, so I went ahead and watched
it. Yeah, what's up with that? Give it
what's
to
up?
Us.
What's
Give
going
us
on
those
with
subtitles.
That? And, you know, I don't ever want to knock anybody for choosing English over,
right.
But
I want the option.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think both can be appreciated, and I think this argument, you know, some people are just now coming to this argument because of Squid Game.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like some context you might not get with subtitles. So that's why like sometimes voice, the dubs are better because they can change it to make the joke work in English.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's nice to hear the characters like as they were originally intended.
Right. So. Well, especially when it comes to, I believe this is a very universal Asian aspect of language, is it, a lot of Asian languages are tonal.
Yes.
I know Japanese is specifically, and I know Thai is. I think that Korean is also a tonal language.
Mm.
But I think that plays a huge part in the fact that so frequently, you know, a lot can be said and the jokes are just within what is said, not the inflection or anything.
Right.
And I know that's basically what you just said.
No, you did it differently.
Okay.
Yeah. We said different things.
Cool.
Yeah, I watch a lot of Korean media, like East Asian TV. And one of the things I picked up on pretty quickly was like in Korea, like they'd be like, like barely say anything. And it would have like 4 words like in the subtitles. Mm. Like they just went like, huh. And it's like, okay, I'll do that.
Right.
You know, like something like that. And you're like, wait, they didn't even say anything. Like,
right.
It's super fascinating.
It is interesting. I think that that's gotten a lot better here recently because I think that from my understanding, I think there is a large portion of animation and voiceover that is now just dedicated to that translation process.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, just because that I think that can just really make or break something. Because like with Ghost in the Shell, you know, it's this story about like robots and human souls and like all this stuff. And like, I don't know how you could deliver that. Like it would need to be rewritten. And I don't think it was for that dub.
Right.
And I think that that's where it suffered a lot from. But that's what I've been watching.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, that has been October. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Swan Lake?
No, just I would recommend giving it a watch.
Yeah.
Especially like if you're someone who has heard about Swan Lake, but you're like, hey, ballet is not my thing. definitely really worth checking out just to kind of know the story. Again, like I said, not a happy ending originally. But I feel like it's a big piece of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now that like everyone knows Swan Lake,
mm-hmm.
So if you want to have a little bit more knowledge in your brain, maybe do that instead of like buying tickets to the ballet.
Yeah,
you can also. I mean, there are also other versions. There's the Swan Princess series, which came out like 10 years after this one. Again, those are also a lot different, but generally the same. There are 7 Swan Princess movies.
Oh my!
Yeah. And I was looking up because I wanted to see, like, the comparison and the difference in these movies because I grew up watching the Swan Princess movies. And, like, that company, I can't even think of what they're called, that makes those movies. They have, like, 7 Swan Princess movies. And then they have, like, 100 movies under their belt.
Oh.
And all the rest are animated Bible adaptions.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just like all the different stories from the Bible, and then they have this one princess, and like that's their whole resume.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you find a lane, you stick in it, I guess.
Yeah. I was just like, alrighty then. I guess someone had to do it, so.
Also, just want to add, this is nothing like Black Swan.
It's not.
No.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, I haven't seen Black Swan. That was another one I was going to reference.
Yeah. I think that the ballet that they dance in Black Swan is Swan Lake. But that movie, that's a lot different.
Yeah. That's like a suspense kind of movie, isn't it?
That one's like rated R and like very upsetting visually in a lot of ways.
Yikes.
Directed by Darren Aronofsky. Got Natalie Portman in it. Yes. She like pulls black feathers out of her skin and stuff. And
yikes.
But anyway, yeah, it's nothing like that.
Yeah, nothing like that. So,
family-friendly
version.
Yes.
For sure.
I think it'd be really funny to put on Swan Lake and tell people like, hey, you guys want to watch Black Swan? And like...
And I was like,
oops, I messed up. I guess this is
beautiful castle, beautiful bird.
Where's Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
All right.
And or Natalie Portman.
And or I don't remember anybody else in that movie. Do you wanna send us off?
Do you wanna talk about the movie you're watching next month?
Yes, thank you. We watched nothing yet, but next month we're watching A Town Called Panic.
And this is one of your picks, finally.
Yes, I'm very excited. We're watching A Town Called Panic for November, and then in December, we're watching Scamper the Penguin.
Also one of your picks, but also kind of a request.
Yes, it's a bit of a hybrid. More of a request. I've never seen Scamper the Penguin.
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
I think it's going to be very similar to Swan Lake, from what I can tell. But I believe
it is.
I think it's like either Russian or something like originally.
That's fun. We're covering a lot of like foreign animated movies without really realizing it.
Bouncing around. Yeah. A Town Called Panic is Belgian. So
very nice.
We're all over the place already.
All right. Do you know where people can watch that one? We'll link it.
Yeah. We'll link it. A Town Called Panic. I do know if you have the Criterion channel. I know it is on there. You can rent it on Amazon as well.
Perfect.
So those are the two places. Excited for that. And then we also will soon be putting out our 2022 list of movies.
Yeah, so if you have any requests, get those to us before the end of the year. We've already got at least two.
Yes.
So yeah.
So
please. That's 10 more spots you could potentially take.
10 more. I would say at least 8, because I mean, you get your birthday month.
I get
my birthday month.
Yeah, right.
Can't have those.
Yeah, so there's 8 more spots available if you want to sneak in a movie.
Let us know.
Yeah.
But that about does it here. I think that's it now. Yeah. Oh, our theme song, our intro and outro is 2D or Not 2D by P Model. It's fantastic.
It's such a bop.
So check them out. And our artwork. It's like I did a bit of a...
A little bit of an accent there.
Is by you, Nikki.
Yeah, I made our album artwork.
It's great.
Thank you.
I just wanted to.
That's very sweet. And all of our editing is done by Brandon. He's our editor producer extraordinaire.
If you're listening, I dabbed.
Yeah. Insert dabbing noises here.
I don't have a dab.
I guess dabbing's not cool anymore.
Oh my God, I can't believe I don't have an air horn on here. What am I doing?
What does this one do? I mean, that's pretty good.
All right, well.
All right, so please join us next month for the discussion. Again, if you have anything you want to comment on about Swan Lake, you can reach us on our social media at 2D or Not 2D Cast. On Instagram, Twitter, Anchor FM. Anchor FM lets you send voice messages that we would be more than happy to include in the show. And you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, thanks to Anchor.fm.
Yes. Well, we'll be back on the 25th of November. Thank you for listening. My name is Brandon.
My name is Nikki.
And
tune in next time. Be more confident, Brandon.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to get in? Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tune in next time. I thought that was the applause. Oh, no.
That's good. No, that was perfect. That's how we'll wrap it.
Perfect.